So welcome to those who've joined us online as well today. Great that you're with us online and hope that you can stay all the way through to the end of the service. I was just going to say, we do have tea and coffee after church for those online. Please don't have tea and coffee now. Just wait till after church and you can join the rest of us. So no wandering off to the kettle. But tea and coffee after church, please feel free and stay and join us. Next week in church, we'll have communion. So looking forward to just coming around the Lord's table. Although today, we don't really have a table, do we? Because things have changed during COVID. But nevertheless, we're still remembering the Lord's death until he comes. All the groups will be back on this week, prayer on Monday and Tuesday. Treasure Kids will be on, Oxygen will be on, Treasure Tots will be on. And on Friday the 3rd of December, Friday the 3rd of March, that's a wee typo in my notes there, I think. Friday the 3rd of March will be the World Day of Prayer. So here in the church, Friday the 3rd of March, and so please avail yourselves of that. Come along and pray together with people all across the world as we seek God's face. And also, just to remind you, there's a very, very large amount of clothes in the lounge up the back of the church there for Ukraine. That appeal is still open. If you have things that you can donate to that, then please do so. And just to remind you that up the back, we do have a generosity box. So if you want to give to the Lord's work in this church, then you can do that by giving up there. Let's just take a wee moment to pray. We're going to do a wee reflection today on Psalm 19. But before we do that, let's just pray, if that's okay. Father, we pray and ask that our hearts would be open to what you want to say to us today. Lord, may we hear the Spirit's voice. And Lord, we just pray that as we reflect on this Psalm of David, Lord, that you would touch our hearts through the words that he has written thousands of years ago. Father, today may they bless our hearts and may they give us encouragement and hope. And Father, may they inspire us. And Lord, we just pray that our whole being, body, soul, and spirit would be open to your word today. In Jesus' name we ask. And all God's people said, amen. Are you still with me? Good, just checking. So we're just going to do a reflection on Psalm 19. And I was sharing with Gillian just at the start of the service, just before the service started, in fact. Often when I'm taking time off, I will take a break from the kind of routine of sort of Bible reading and all that type of stuff, and maybe just reflect on one particular portion of Scripture. And over the last couple of weeks, I've really been reflecting on Psalm 19. And so with the change in circumstances today, with Angela not being able to minister today, I thought that's where I'm going to speak from today, Psalm 19. And I'm going to read the words of Psalm 19 to us today. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read from the NIV today. And this is what it says. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run the course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Well, I don't know about you. I could be doing with feeling the sun's heat in these days. It's not very warm here. This was written by a man who lived way closer to the equator than we do. Although it would get cold at night. Anyway, I digress. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. He's saying, who can discern their own errors? We're not so good at seeing the faults in ourselves, are we? Sometimes we're better at seeing the faults in others. Anyway, David is saying, who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. And then this little verse, this little stanza at the end here, and you will recognize it. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. What an incredible psalm. And I want to just dwell on that for a short time this morning. Well, we'll see how short it is. I'm saying a short time, but I'm maybe lulling you into a false sense of security. I just wanted to reflect on some of the hymn words. I don't know if it's just the way where we've been over the last wee while or what it is, but I've been reflecting on some of the old sort of hymn words. And one of the ones that comes back to mind as I think about this psalm and as I meditate on this psalm is these words, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. I remember standing on top of a mountain called Sylvan up in Sutherland, near Ascent, and standing on top of this mountain, and I had a 360-degree view of everything that was around about me. It was just spectacular. And I remember the words of that song coming into my mind, and I was singing it inside, and, you know, if I'd sung it out loud, probably nobody would have heard me anyway, but maybe I should have went for it. But just the words, were the whole realm of nature mine. But if all this were mine to give to God, and it's absolutely amazing, it would be an offering far too small for our amazing God who created all this majesty and beauty. Then another hymn, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. We sung those words almost 32 years ago. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that these words, and they mean so much to us, you know, they mean so much to us. And the 32 years ago almost is our wedding day, by the way, just in case you're wondering, which is coming up, an anniversary. And you sing these words, and they're so laden with meaning because of the life that we've lived with God. And he's been with us, and we've been with him. And he's taken us through many dangers, toils, and snares, to quote another hymn. And here we are today. We're still standing. We're still standing in our faith, and still standing strong. And we join with all of nature in manifold witness to his great faithfulness, mercy, and love. And as I was thinking about this psalm, you know, I read a wee bit of Spurgeon's commentary on it. And he said this, in his earliest days, the psalmist, while keeping his father's flock, had devoted himself to the study of God's two great books, nature and scripture. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way. I love the way that he put it, so I thought I'm going to quote that today. God's two great books, nature and scripture. One of the things I love about being away is being immersed in nature, as they call it in Sweden, the nature. It's got the definite article in front of it. The nature. And I just love being immersed in nature. Why? Because the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. As you look up at the sky at night, you just go, wow. I remember one time driving over from Hart Hill on the Falthouse Road, and the sky was just absolutely spectacular. I had no camera. I just had to enjoy the moment. And I just thought, Lord, you're amazing. Look at this just fantastic creation. And it says here that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Nature is the language of earth, sea, and sky. It's universally understood. Doesn't matter where you live in the world, you can see this incredible creation and you go, wow. Everybody goes, wow. And some people go, wow, and let's find out about the God who created this. And some people go, wow, let's do science and let's forget about God. But actually, forgetting that science began with people going, wow, let's understand how God did all this, which is the origins of science. And nature just communicates something to the soul. It communicates something to each one of us, that language that words can't communicate. And even if we think about scripture, the words of the Bible, they need to be translated into other languages so that other people across our world can go, wow, This is the Creator who put all this in place. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 to 20 says this: since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. We look up and we go, this is incredible. We look around us, we look at the vastness of the creation that we live in, and we think about this, as you think about just this tiny little blob floating around in space. Well, it's not floating, but you know what I mean. And it's only a small part of the whole cosmos, the universe, everything that God has created. And when you think about the vastness of that, and you think that God actually exists outside of that, God exists outside of that. God transcends creation. God is awesome and amazing, and yet God enters into creation. And I think creation is absolutely marvelous. I love it. Do you know, I remember one time, a long time ago, saying these words: just be quiet for 2 minutes and look up at the sky. We were with a group of young people, and we were coming down from Lord Melville's monument up at Comrie. If you've ever seen that monument, if you know Comrie at all, there's a monument up on the hill, and we'd walked up to it in the dark, and we were walking back in the dark, and we were coming down the road, and the sky was just so clear. And I was looking up as I was coming down, and everybody's chatting away, looking at each other and looking at the ground. And I said, guys, just let's stop for a minute. Let's just be quiet for 2 minutes and look up. Well, it's a challenge to get young people to be quiet for 2 minutes and to look up. But eventually, after all the little bits of conversation, we just stood there for a couple of minutes and looked up, and then began to point out some of the things in the sky. And it was just one of those kind of like awesome moments where you go, wow, this is actually pretty cool. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And so I thought, let's just have a wee look at the sky for a moment, if that's okay with you. I'm going to try and do something that you can't do at this point in time. The sun's up, but let's look at the sky. This is a picture which I took when I was away. It's a picture of the sky with the Cairngorm Hills in the foreground at the bottom there. And I don't know if you can recognize constellations. If you look up at the sky, do you recognize constellations? Anybody recognize the constellation that's there just now? Yes, somebody said it. And that's Orion's belt there. I thought I'd highlight it just in case it was hard to see on this screen. Orion's belt, that's the bit, the middle bit of Orion. And if you draw a line, an imaginary line down from Orion's belt, you come to that really bright star in the sky. It's called Sirius. And when we were away, see, where I stay, my southward view is obliterated by streetlights and house lights. If I stand out the front of my house, I look up, I can't see anything for these lights. Whereas out the back of the house, there's not so much light, and you can see the northern sky. So for me, it was a real treat to be able to see the southern sky and to see Orion and Sirius and all these incredible stars. And there's Orion's bow. Can you see it? I know you can't. I'm only kidding on. But that's, if you to draw a picture, that's the constellation Orion, which we would see in the south of the sky if we looked out on a really dark night. And it's incredible to look up and to see it. This is a picture of the moon taken early morning, which orbits around our planet. And it's just an incredible thing. I don't know about you, I get captivated by the moon. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Although I've not yet howled, okay? Just to be clear about that, okay? But there's just something about it. As you look up, you go, wow. And when we were away, the moon was so bright. That week we were in Coyland Bridge, it was so bright that we were out walking in the middle of the night and we didn't need torches. You could see where you were going. It was so bright. And it's just incredible. We look up, and then we look at the sun. And I wish we could see more of the sun, but it's always there, but it's hidden by clouds at the moment, isn't it? And it says this: in the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other, and nothing is hidden from its heat. Lord, that's our prayer. Let us feel the heat of the sun today. I don't think that's going to happen today, but let us feel the heat of the sun. And it's so encouraging, isn't it, just to see the little, just to go from sky to earth, to see the little bulbs popping up through, to see the crocuses starting and the snowdrops coming up. It's just fantastic, isn't it? I just think it's amazing. And Psalm 19, verse 4 to 6 says this, "In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion." The words are on the screen. "Like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat." And this is a little picture of that sun setting. Look at that. Wow. And where we are, we're fortunate enough to watch the sun setting further and further and further round on the horizon until you get to the 21st of June and there's a peak on the horizon that it just goes behind. And then after the 21st of June, you go, oh, because it starts to go further and further and further back. It's incredible when you look at where the sun rises and sets. Anyway, I digress. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." And I think it's just, it does something to us when we stand there, when we survey, when we study, and when we savor God's creation. It's just, it does something inside us. And I think we need to do that. And my next door neighbor, he tells me these days, you also need to take your shoes off and have bare feet. Some people in here love to do that. To actually stand on the grass with your bare feet and just look up. That's what he says. I'm going to try that. And just enjoy God's creation. Listen to some of the things that God has said through his word. And different people have written this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 16. "He also made the stars." It's just almost like an appendage, isn't it? You look up and you go, this is awesome. And it says in the Bible, oh, by the way, he also made the stars. It's incredible. Genesis 15 and 5. "He took Abraham outside and said to him, 'Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.'" And he says, that's what your descendants are going to be like. Stand outside and look up at the stars. We live with so much light pollution that you can't see what these people saw. Job chapter 9, verse 9. "He is the maker of the Bear and Orion and Pleiades and the constellations of the south." Psalm 147, verse 4. "He determines the number of the stars and calls each by name." We've got our names for these, but God has got a name for every star. I wonder what he calls our sun. I wonder what he calls it when it plays hide and seek with us. And have you ever stopped to consider, and I said today was a reflection on Psalm 19. And as I reflect on Psalm 19, and God's encouragement to us to consider his creation, it makes me feel very, very small. We get so full of our own self-importance, don't we? Or is that just me? There's no response. Dun, 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 dun. It must just be me. Okay, let's move on then. We're very, very small, not only in relation to the universe we currently live in, but consider the universe as it has existed through time. Think about this. So we're standing looking up at those stars, and we think, people stood and looked up at those stars thousands of years ago. The same stars, thousands of years ago. And here are we looking at the same stars, thousands of years later. Not much has changed in 1,000 years. But we've changed. We come and we go. That reminds me of a song, but we'll not go there. And we're very small in relation to all that God has done and has created. And yet, at the same time, our small lives have significance to them. Our lives have significance. Your life has significance. Your life has meaning and purpose. And God, as we give ourselves to him, can come and use us and make our lives useful for him. And so that we have meaning and purpose, a purpose that we can only find in him. The psalmist says again in verse 8, verse 3, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?" Have you ever stopped to think about that? When I consider your heavens, when I think about all this, who am I that God should think about me? Do you know, this is a really silly thought. Maybe But I was standing next to a stream when I was away and thinking, this water running down the stream will eventually find its way into a river, will eventually find its way down through the land. And we stood at where the Speig is into the sea and watched this incredible sight and watched the waves. And I thought about the water that runs its course and goes into the sea, and then the sun comes out and evaporates the water, and the water goes up and it forms clouds, and it somehow comes over the mountains again and rains, and down comes the water, and it gathers in the land, and it gathers into little streams, and then it goes into rivers, and it goes into the sea eventually. And this has been going on since God created the universe. Since God created our world, this whole process has been continually going on. God's designed it all to work together. And we come along for our short time on earth, and we marvel at it, and we think, this is incredible. God has created it all to work together. And this is the inspiration that I take from it, that there is a creator. There is a God. There is an eternal spirit, a supernatural and supreme reality in this world. And he loves us. This transcendent, almighty God who created everything that we can see and that we can't see loves us. And that, for me, is amazing. And so today I want to encourage us, I want to encourage you to become a student. Become a student. A student of what? Become a student of the skies. That's what verses 1 to 6 are about. When I consider the heavens, become a student of the skies. In fact, of all nature, I'm encouraging you to just take a moment to stop and think about the world that we live in, to stop and think about nature. When David describes the heavens and the skies, he's describing the various layers that we saw in that last picture of what we call the atmosphere. And he also describes what we see outside the atmosphere, outside that big dome, that big blue dome that we see around our world. And I think probably he would have lived too close to the equator to see the northern lights. So we've been blessed with something that David probably never saw, if you've saw the northern lights. And it's worth noting that as we look at some of these pictures on the screen, the heavens have their own glory. And it's just spectacular to look at. And every person in the world will probably at one point in time go, wow, that's amazing. But they display the glory of God. It's God's glory that is seen there. So become a student of the skies. Become a student of nature. But there's another realm that Paul begins to refer to when we think about the skies and the heavens. Paul talks about a man who was caught up into the third heaven. You remember that verse from 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. And it says that when he was caught up into this supernatural experience with God, that he heard inexpressible things. Things that man is not permitted to tell. Incredible, isn't it? Things that man's not permitted to tell. He heard things. He probably saw things and went, wow. There's an even bigger reality, a spiritual reality that we sometimes forget about. So become a student of the skies. I want to encourage you to become a student of the scriptures. In verses 7 to 11, that's what he talks about. David begins to use different words that describe the words of God, the word of God, as we talk about. And he uses words like law, statutes, precepts, commands. Do we like words like command? Who loves being commanded to do something? Okay. Not many of us like to be commanded to do things, let's be honest. We don't like being commanded. We don't like being bossed about. It's like we used to say when we were kids, you're not the boss of me. Right? And when some people get too big for the boots, you say to them, well, who made you the boss around here? It's like in those TV programs where the boss is away on holiday or something like that, and somebody steps into his shoes and they start talking like the boss, and it's like, who do you think you are? We don't like to be commanded, and yet what David is describing is the words of God that we read through Scripture, and he would have been referring to the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the Scriptures, and he was referring to the law. He was referring to the statutes, the precepts, and the commands. And he tells us that God's word is different things. Listen to the words that he uses to describe it. He says that it's perfect. He says that it's trustworthy. It's right. It's radiant. It's sure. It's righteous. It's precious. It's sweet. 8 different words to talk about the words of God. And as we think about the creation that we live in, we realize that there is a God who created that, who's wanting to break through into our lives and who's wanting to speak to us and communicate to us and have a relationship with us because he loves us. An incredible God. And he tells us also what these words can do and accomplish in our lives. They do things in us and ultimately for us. They revive the soul. They make us wise. They give us joy and they give us light. These are things that we long for and crave for. And the Bible tells us that we find them as God speaks to us. I think this is the longing of every human heart, to have our souls revived. Who knows what it's like to be in that place where you go, Lord, I need you to come and revive my soul. I feel just like I'm dying inside. I feel like I need a break here. I feel that things need to change here. And God comes and he begins to revive the soul as he speaks to us, as we listen to what he's saying, whether it's through nature or scripture, as we listen to what God is saying, he begins to revive the soul. To be wise. We all want to be wise, don't we? Or do we not? I want to be wise. We all look up to the wise characters. I'm a Star Wars fan. Think about Yoda, okay? Mr. Miyagi, if you're into that type of stuff. Wax on, wax off, right? The wise teacher. We all want to be wise. And the Bible tells us that the scriptures are there to make us wise. And yet we can look to all sorts of other places for wisdom. And God says it's right here. It's right here in a relationship with me as I begin to speak to you. To be full of joy. We want to be full of joy, don't we? Some of you look like you need to be full of joy this morning. I'm trying really hard. I'm only kidding. We want to be full of joy. And we know the difference in our lives when we are experiencing that joy, the joy of the Lord, when it's in our hearts and when it's doing something and changing us. We know that. And we know when we've stepped outside the will of God and we're not experiencing the joy of God. We know the difference. And yet each of us want to have that joy, to have light in dark places. Let's face it, life can be tough sometimes, and we go through dark times, and we go through times where we think this is never going to end. Like we were talking about just a few weeks ago, battles and blessings. And when we're going through the battles and the challenging times, we think it's never going to end, yet it does. But God can give us light in those dark places. When we think about the alternative, or the opposite, when we exclude God's word from our lives, what happens is we begin to die inwardly. We feel that there's just something not right. When we exclude God and God's word, we become foolish and we make bad decisions. We become increasingly sad and melancholy, and we're plunged into darkness of thought, and that can begin to disorient us. We begin to lose our way, and then we come to a place like the prodigal son where we think, actually, I need to go back to my father's house. I need to go back and hear my father's voice. I need to go back and hear what God has to say to me because he loves me and he wants the best for me. And he loves you and he wants the best for you. Third thing, really quickly, is to become a student of the self, if I can put it that way. And in verse 12 to 14, he begins to change focus on himself. You know, I've considered the incredible skies and creation and all that God is, and I've considered God's word and what he says to me. And this is what it does to me. It begins to have an effect on my life. And he prays a prayer, which I'll read it in a wee second. I think we need to view our lives in that grander perspective of God's purposes. God's purposes through creation, God's purposes through us as we are part of his creation, and through also the lens of God's word. I've got a pair of glasses on today. If I take this pair of glasses off, I'll not be able to read my notes. I need this lens to be able to focus and to make sense of what's written on this page. And God's word is like a lens. It helps us to focus on who God is, on his glory and what he's saying to each one of us. So we need to see things through the lens of his word. But David recognizes that it's sometimes hard to see things in ourselves. And verse 12 says this, and I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? How can I know? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Do you know your hidden faults? Are you aware of your hidden faults? I know that sometimes, very often, I'm unaware of my hidden faults until circumstances begin to show them for what they are. And you enter into a set of circumstances and you say something or you do something or you think something, you go, there it is. There's the hidden fault. But it takes some circumstances to bring it out and for you to see it. And you go, here I go again. Why does it take me so long to learn things? And yet, David is saying here, how can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Well, the answer's in, and I'm going to share that in a wee second. He also goes on to say in verse 13, keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. I don't know about you, sometimes in those moments where you consider the heavens and God's creation and how marvelous he is, and you're just kind of caught up in God's presence in nature, and or maybe the moments where you're in scripture and you're reading something and God speaks to you and you think, oh, life is just so perfect. How could it ever go wrong again? And yet it does, because there's this old sinful nature that rises up in us, and it just comes up and catches us by surprise sometimes. And yet what David is praying here is, don't let it control me. Don't let the sinful nature control me. And maybe we need to pray that more often. Don't let it control me. We want to be free from guilt and innocent of great sin. Don't let it control me. And I want to say today, there will always be a struggle. There's always going to be a struggle with that inner nature, that old sinful nature. But we can pray. And we can pray the prayer that David prayed in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And pray that, and just watch over the next 2 or 3 weeks to see what God shows you. Wow, it's amazing. It's a brave prayer to pray. And then the psalmist concludes, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I wonder today if our perspective is the only perspective. I don't think it is, because there are many people who are trying to throw God out of the equation. To throw God out of the equation, I think, is to throw out meaning and morality. And then we're left to make up our own minds about things, to bring our own sense of meaning and our own sense of morality based on our own ideas of what right and wrong is. And who knows that as we look at the society that we're living in just now, as we've increasingly tried to push God out of the equation, there is a lack of meaning and there's a lack of morality in our society. Lack of meaning can lead to all sorts of problems. We start to wonder, why am I really here? And who would miss me if I was gone? And sadly, that train of thought gets hold of some people and it takes things to an ultimate conclusion. And we've seen it so many times and been affected by it many times. Because you take God out of the equation and what's left? What is this all about? Because we all ask that question. What's it all about? We need to keep God in the equation. And I think your society today is floundering for lack of meaning and an absence of absolute morality. Well, if it feels good and it's not hurting anybody, just you go for it. Well, how do you know it's not hurting somebody? And we've made our own minds up about right and wrong and good and bad and all these things. I want to suggest that there's only one source of morality, and that's what we find in Scripture, in God's word, and because that's an expression of his nature. And he's created us to live in a certain way. He's gifted us with things to be used in a certain way. And I think today we're struggling as a society. You know, you think about this, the earth continues to orbit the sun every day. What would happen if the earth just decided to say one day, do you know what, I'm not going to bother today. What would happen if the earth just said, I'm not going to bother today? And the sun decided, do you know what, I'm not going to bother shining today. I've had enough of this nonsense. Within a very short time, we'd all be in heaven, wouldn't we? It's been designed to work in a certain way. And God has designed us to work in a certain way, yet we choose our own way over his way, and we wonder why we've got problems. And I think God must sometimes just shake his head and say, do you know, I love you, I want the best for you. Why are you doing that? Why are you thinking that? Why are you saying that? We take God out of the equation, and we wonder why things begin to go wrong. Romans chapter 1, continuing on from where we were reading there, says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Exchanged the truth for a lie, exchanged the glory of God for the creation and began to worship the creation rather than the creator. I love being away, and there's a tremendous healing that comes through being away and being steeped in God's creation, particularly when you recognize it as God's creation and when you're standing there and you're saying, how great thou art. It's amazing. And at the end of the psalm, David recognizes two important dimensions of the God that we're talking about this morning. The God that he's endeavoring to know and we endeavor to know. He is our rock. He is our redeemer. Standing on the rock makes us secure. And being redeemed saves us. And I want to suggest one last thing, that even in the darkest moments, when the storm is brewing, he is there. I'm going to show you one last little video. Even in the darkest moments when the storm is brewing, he is there. I don't know about you, nature can be quite a scary place sometimes, can't it? It's awesome. And you can't control it. Like the nights when the wind gets up and the rain's battering down and you can't control it. It's awesome. And sometimes that's like what happens in life. We feel that there are things that are happening that are just awesome. They're out of our control. Lord, save me in the middle of all this. And maybe for some of us, we need to remember the words of Isaiah, as he says in chapter 54, verse 10, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. I love that little verse in the Bible where it says, he remembers that we're dust. He remembers our weaknesses, and yet he loves us. I want to encourage you to take moments. Go for a walk on the wild side. Find yourself in creation. Observe what God has created and just enjoy being in his presence. And then maybe reflect on some scripture and enjoy his presence in that. Get away from the noise that we create. People create a lot of noise, don't they? And yet we get into the noise that God creates, and it's generally a lot quieter. And it's just awesome. Stop and listen. Just stop and listen for a while. Go somewhere far away from the traffic and stop and listen for a while. And just listen. Shut your eyes and listen to what's around you. And you think, wow, God created all of that. God created what I can hear. All the things that are happening, the birds, and just nature as it's happening. God created that. And we meet God in different cathedrals. And I finish with this. Sometimes we meet him in the cathedral of our own heart. And that's amazing. When God comes and meets with us in the cathedral of our own heart, we open up the door and we say, in you come. Come in and meet with me in the cathedral of my heart. Sometimes God meets with us in this cathedral, the church, as we gather. It's not the building. This is no cathedral. But we're a cathedral. Together, collectively, we are a cathedral. We are the church. We are the people of God. And yet sometimes God wants to meet us in the cathedral of nature. Wow. You think that dome in St. Paul's is impressive? Go outside and look at the big dome of the atmosphere that we're living under. That's impressive. God created that. And we try our hardest to emulate God's creativity, but we can't. Let's just pause for a moment to pray as we finish our time today. I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over the church and over our community today. Father, we just thank you for the incredible world that you've placed us in. Lord, it's so good to be alive today, to be breathing, to have health and strength. Lord, we have different measures of health, different measures of strength. But Lord, you see each one of us where we are. And Lord, I pray that you would come and that you'd meet every need, Father, physical, emotional, spiritual. And Lord, that you would just impart that strength, that you'd impart that peace that Isaiah talked about. Lord, may we walk in peace. May we walk in your presence. Lord, for those who are struggling today with health issues, Lord, we're just asking that your hand would be upon each one. And Lord, that you'd bring healing and that you'd bring restoration and that you'd bring wholeness. Lord, we just thank you for every member of this church. And Lord, we pray blessing on everyone, every family. And Lord, for those who have family members who don't know you yet, who are struggling as well, Lord, we bring them before you. Lord, we think about them. Lord, we think about the prodigals that we've been praying for over a number of months now. And Lord, we just lift each one before you. Lord, we remember them. Lord, we remember their lives and their situation, the things that are good and we can celebrate. And Lord, the things that are a bit of a challenge. And Lord, we bring them before you. And Lord, we ask that you'd come into their hearts and into their experiences. And Lord, that you'd bring restoration to them. And Lord, we pray for our community finally here in Whitburn and beyond. Lord, across this area of West Lothian, Lord, we pray for our nation too. Lord, we pray that you'd move in our nation by your Spirit. Lord, may we see your Spirit at work. May you do incredible things. Lord, we pray, help us to give ourselves to your plans and purposes. And Lord, may we just enjoy you. Lord, we think of those words in the Catechism that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Lord, may we just glorify you through our lives and may we enjoy you. May we enjoy you today, this week that will come, and in the months that lie ahead. Lord, we just pray, help us to grow in our relationship with you and to enjoy you forever. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great day and a great week ahead. Remember to stay for tea and coffee. That's all provided for you today. Just enjoy chatting with one another. And Lord bless you.